a lot of deliverance. And as we tear down, what does the Bible say? Fill up. And we fill you up with scriptures that will help you to defend yourself and to stay strong. And these are the days that we need a lot of strength. Amen. Every day. So you have to overcome the devil, and you also have to overcome evil influences. And so the Bible gives us roadmap that shows us how to walk in victory. And Christians should be walking in more victory than what we see. Amen. But in order to walk in victory, you have to be doers of the Word of God. You have to listen, hear, but then you have to do what you've heard. Amen? Now, one of the things that you have to see as a Christian is your source of power is far greater than all of the power of the enemy. All of it. And the more of a vision that you have of Christ and His power, the more victory that you'll walk in as a Christian. The more that you can expect from your spiritual warfare. And most Christians are not taught spiritual warfare. And it's one of the most important subject matters that we can learn, because you have an enemy. But though you have an enemy, Jesus made you as a Christian to be successful. And so I hope you brought your Bibles today, because we'll go into some scriptures with you. And Isaiah 59:19b says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." So, as a Christian, when you get under spiritual attack, you have to think in terms that the Lord is going to rush by your side. In fact, He's going to stand in front of you. Nothing shall overcome you unless you give up. Amen? So you have to learn to walk with your Lord, and you have to understand who the devil is from God's perspective. And sometimes over the years, the Christians that I've known, they seem to know or understand the devil from man's perspective instead of what the Word shows him to be. I mentioned several sermons ago that they give the devil a lot of power and a lot of credit for a lot of things that he has no reason to have credit for. I mean, like when they have a hurricane, what do? They blame God for that. Right? Somebody gets sick, that's God's fault. Somebody comes in to pray for that person, well, that person's of the devil. Because, have you noticed that? And it just seems like in the minds of men and women sometimes, they have things backward. And that's the way it's supposed to be in the kingdom of the devil. But in the kingdom of God, you've got to change your mindset to think spiritually, to think powerfully, to understand that God certainly is on your side. Amen? And so 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Lest the devil shall get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Now, one of the reasons why the devil can get advantage over a Christian is through their ignorance. You see, God gave you a mouth. He gave you eyes to read, ears to hear. He gave you a brain for understanding. There are some things that you have to pray for spiritual understanding. I saw something a couple of days ago. I'm not at liberty to tell you what it was, but it was about something that happened back in the 60s, and I never understood it until just about 2 days ago, and God showed it to me. And I just can't tell you what it is at this point, but I was just so shocked. Have you ever seen something that you should have known but you didn't know? But you see, the thing about it, this particular thing was something that nobody had ever said. Everybody had seen the incident happen, but nobody had ever put their finger on actually what happened. And the Lord showed it to me, and I was so shocked. So there are certain things that only God can show you, that only He can reveal to you. And this is why in the book of Revelation, He talks about having eyes to see and ears to hear. And in this particular material that I was studying, I called somebody and I said, I want to see what you see. And I told them where to go to look for it. And they said, I don't know what you're getting at. They couldn't see it either. Until I went over it, the video, frame by frame, they couldn't see it. When I went over the video frame by frame, then they could see it. But you know, when the Lord showed it to me, He showed it to me instantly, just like that, the whole thing. And then I went looking for information to confirm what I saw. People are blind. They're blind. Unless God opens your eyes, you cannot see. That really is the truth. But you see, as a Christian, you need to know that God wants you to see. If there's a mystery, you need to know. We had a discussion with Brother Bill, and we were quoting we were saying that the Word says, from memory now, that you throw the gold, that the rich people would throw the gold out into the streets. And that's the way I heard it many years ago as a baby Christian. And the other person was Julie, and she said, yeah, that's what it says. So Bill went and got the Bible, and it didn't say that. I said, well, I know that I've heard that. Julie said, I know that I've heard that. And so Bill, it bothered him, and he went and looked, and he found it. He found a scripture that they throw the gold out into the street in Ezekiel. So it's in the Bible, but it just wasn't where we thought it was, you see. That's the way things should affect you. When you hear something spiritually, you need to go dig for it. If you don't fully understand it, go sit at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, open my eyes to see. Open my ears to hear so that I can hear and see what the Spirit of God is saying to me in this last days. Things are happening very, very quickly as we speak to you in this last day. And so it's important for you to walk in the anointing and the power of God. But you can only do that through beginning to make the Word of God your companion, and you make Jesus your teacher. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. A teacher can only teach you just so much. We've got 30 minutes on Sunday that we talk to you. You can't get a lot in 30 minutes, particularly when you're me. But the truth is, you need something to spark you that says, I'm going to go look that scripture up. I never saw that before. I never heard it quite like that before. That's what a teacher is supposed to stir you to go to the feet of Jesus and learn so that you can get a relationship with him. It's great to have a relationship with me, but I can't do much for you. He's all and all and can do everything for you. But you have to learn to go to him, to seek him. And then you have to learn to see him doing things. Not just in somebody else's life, but in your life too. He loves you. So he made a spiritual church. And so in order to be a strong, powerful Christian, you have to be spiritual. That's where I'm going. Amen? And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3-5, the Bible says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And this is like a little roadmap to your spiritual warfare. And what this little roadmap tells you is that you're walking around in a shell of a body. This body is not the most important thing that you have. The most important thing that you have is your spirit, because your spirit is going to live forever. This flesh will die, and when it dies, it will await the coming of Jesus, and then God will call the atoms back together, put you back together in the flesh, and you'll have a body like Jesus that will connect with your spirit on the other side. Amen? So we have to learn to cultivate our spirit. We women, we learn how to cultivate our flesh. We learn how to put makeup on so that we look a little bit nicer at times to men. We study how to dress and do certain things to make a presentation of our flesh, to make it look a little bit better than it does, we hope. But, you know, before I got saved, I used to spend hours just putting on makeup. I mean, I would put on the false eyelashes, and I would put on the false fingernails. And I mean, I do that now, but the difference is I just paste them on for the TV now. And when they pop off, they pop off. But I don't spend time on my flesh like I used to. What I do is I spend time on my spirit. And so the result of spending time on your spirit, you begin to get a spiritual mind. And that's where you need to get, is you think spiritually instead of by your flesh. Amen? Now, this is why a lot of Christians can't see anything, because they think by their flesh instead of their spiritual mind. Well, how do you get a spiritual mind? Reading the Word of God. The Word of God is God's thoughts on paper written for you and I. And the Word of God will change the way you think. The Word of God will renew your mind. It will give you a new mind so that if you put enough in there, so that you can become an overcomer. So the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. And so many Christians fight in the carnal instead of the spirit. You go to church and somebody comes up and they say something nasty to you and they say, you know, you just look awful today. You don't think Christians will do things like that? Let me tell you, they will. They'll do all kinds of bad things to you. I had that little Fonny that used to go out on the road with me. She was a little Indian. And she used to want to sing. And Fonny couldn't sing. She could do all kinds of things, but she couldn't sing. And I never would tell her that she couldn't sing. And when I'd come home sometimes, if she was at home, she stayed with me a little bit. She would be practicing singing, but she couldn't sing. So one day we went out on the road together, and she asked the pastor if she could sing a song. And since she was traveling with me, he figured she could sing. So he said yes. So he let her sing. And afterwards, some woman came up, and she said, "You just sounded terrible." She said, "You ought not to ever sing again." Well, I mean, even if you thought something like that, do you really have to go and hurt somebody's heart like that? You know, my husband wanted to sing. He couldn't carry a tune. He was tone deaf. So when he was in college, he goes and he joins the chorus. And finally, one day, the choir teacher came to him and said, "Vad, I'm going to have to ask you to step down from the choir." And he said, "Why?" He said, "Well, when you sing, you sound like a bullhorn." And that went with him for the rest of his life. I mean, sometimes people can't be nice, amen? But if somebody does something like that to you, what you have to do is learn how to handle things in the spirit realm. Because your flesh will draw up and you'll get angry. And you, if you were like I used to be, I would spend weeks trying to figure out how I could get you back for that. Now, I'm not like that anymore because I think with my spiritual mind now. But you see, a lot of Christians, it's tit for tat. You have to be spiritual. You have to use spiritual weapons. And you have to let the things that the devil will try to do to you in the flesh just drop off of you like you're a duck. And a duck, when it rains, it just walks around and the rain just sits on top of its feathers. It never gets down to its skin, you see? So you have to have duck-type Christianity. And you have to learn to walk in the Spirit. You have to recreate who you are in Christ Jesus. And you take that recreation from not what you want to be, but you take it from what the Word says that you are and how you are. That's how God will take you and make a new creation out of you. It's a spiritual work. And so your spiritual mind has to become educated to use the spiritual weapons that are not carnal, and they're mighty. Somebody comes and says you're ugly. What can you do? You can look at them and you can say, "Well, you know, you're just gorgeous." Now, you don't think that will take every bit of strength that you've got in your body to say something nice to someone that just has tried to put you down to make you think you're less than you are. But you see, when you nullify the words that the devil is trying to shape your life with, and those are life-shaping words, because if somebody can convince you that you're ugly, you will be ugly. But if you can listen to the whisperings of the Lord and you can see His Word, you can see that you're gorgeous. To you, to Him, as a Christian, you're the most delightful, wonderful, precious, beautiful, handsome person in the world. He loves you. He delights in you because he died for you. You see. And so you begin to transfer your negatives into positives. And your positives, you line them up by what the Word of God says about you. The Word of God says that we are new creations in Christ Jesus. All things have fallen away and all things are made new. So we're overweight. We look in the mirror. And we don't look any prettier than we used to, we don't think, right? But if you started looking in the mirror every day as you're combing your hair, and you start saying, you know, I'm not ugly. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. What's inside of you, that beauty that is being planted inside of you, will start coming out and reflecting on the outside of you. Because you'll be who you are in your mind, in your spirit, and in Jesus Christ. And none of us, some of us, can never see that we can be beautiful because we came up in families that rejected us. Jesus is not rejecting you. He loves you. We love you. So when you're in a fellowship, the ones that love you, those are the ones that you circle right laid around with. The ones that dislike you, you just kind of stay away from them. And build on your relationship with those that accept you and receive you so that you can change who you are in Christ Jesus. But if the ones that don't love you happen to come up and say something nasty to you, be prepared to defend yourself spiritually. And the way you do it, Jesus showed us. He said if they come and say something, you have to forgive them. What is it, 70 times 7? Isn't that what that scripture says? He knew that you had to replace the negative with the positive. Because if somebody does something to you and you don't forgive them, and you say, but God, I have a perfect right. I didn't do anything to her. She did it to me. And I'm going to do it back to her too. What happens is the devil loves hate. And if you will change those negative things into positive things and listen to the Lord on how to do those things, your whole life will change. I tell the story of a preacher lady. Her husband was my pastor. God sent me to that church, and they didn't believe in deliverance. And I would go in there, and there were some weird things going on in there, and I'd say, Lord, why am I here? Well, later I found out why I was there. I mean, how are you going to discern religious spirits if you never see them? If God takes you and he puts you in a test tube, if you ever get exposed to a germ, you're going to die, right? So he everything that he does in your life is a teaching experience for you. And so the preacher ladies started going around in the church, and she was jealous of me, and she started telling all the women bad things about me. And, you know, I was hurt. I was really a baby Christian when that was going on. And one day I said to the Lord, that's it. I'm never coming back here. I don't like this place. That woman doesn't like me. And I'm not used to being treated like she's treating me. And I don't have to take it. He said, let me tell you what to do. Next week when you go to church, she'll be standing at the door. He said, I want you to throw your arms around her neck and say, I love you. I said, well, I don't love her. And he said, well, you just do what I told you to do and I will love her through you. So I did, and she kind of backed off like I had leprosy. And then the next week I went to church, he told me to do the same thing, and I did. And 2 or 3 weeks I did that. And then finally I started coming to church, and she'd be standing by the door waiting on me to come in to hug her, because nobody liked her. Nobody was hugging her but me. And she'd even accept it from me. She was so hungry for love. Many years later, that woman had a stroke. And there was somebody else in the hospital that I went to see. And I heard that she was in that same hospital. And so I decided I was going to stop by and see her too. And I stopped by. I walked up by the bed, and I said, "How are you doing, darling?" And she said, "Oh, Pat Holliday, it's been so long since I've seen you." She said, "How are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm doing fine." And to me, what was going on was a normal thing. Her daughter was in the room, and she sat there almost fainting. We had a conversation together, the mother and I, and she started reminding me of things that went on when she was in the church and she saw me do and this and that, and the daughter was just about to faint. And so I said, "But now, how are you doing?" She said, "You know," she said, "it feels like somebody took my brain and just threw it up into the air. And it's like cards just rolling around up in the air." And she said, "I can't think very good, Pat." I said, "Well, you know, God can help you." And she said, "Do you think he would?" I said, "Yeah." And I put my hand on her head and prayed for her. And when I prayed for her, the power of God came through her, went through her head, put her mind back together, came all the way down her body, and her daughter was at the foot of the bed holding her foot, came out of her foot into the daughter. Well, you see, what I didn't understand was that she didn't recognize anybody. She didn't recognize her daughter, her husband, nobody. But when I walked in that room, she said, "You know, I saw you, Pat, when you came walking down the hall. I saw you coming when you came walking down the hall." And she's having a conversation with Pat and does not recognize, had not recognized anyone in her family. What was that all about? It was about love. It was about somebody that found somebody that showed them love instead of hate. It was about somebody that found somebody that showed them love even though they had been evil to them. And there's a scripture that says, love will overcome a multitude of sin. Well, you see, if I had done the tat-to-tat thing like most of us Christians do, that never would have happened. And I used to see her out in the restaurants with her husband. They'd be sitting there and I'd walk in. They'd be talking. God healed that woman because of love. It wasn't because of me, because I wanted to do it back to her. My flesh wanted to get even. But I listened to the Lord, and the Lord taught me things. Just by listening to him and doing it his way, he taught me the scriptures and how they fit into our lives. And it overcomes the devil when you do it in the spiritual way. You take your spiritual weapons and you do it spiritually the way God shows you to. You will walk in the Spirit, and you will defeat that devil in every single area of your life. In your mind, somebody